Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today we are talking about the importance of believing in the world of the unseen. Believe it or not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divides the worlds into two, for us into two, the seen and the unseen. The seen world and the unseen world. عالم الغيب, the unseen, والشهادة, the seen. And Allah is the knowledge, no, Allah is knowledgeable, is the most knowledgeable one about the seen and the unseen world. There are several kinds of being unseen. Maybe it's unseen because you were not present at the time. Maybe it's unseen because this was done behind closed doors. Maybe unseen because it's in the past, it happened in the past. Maybe it's unseen because it will happen in the future and you have no idea what it is. Maybe the unseen is the word of Allah and the angels. And this is the unseen that we are talking about, which is the word of Allah and the angels. Allah, in the very first ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah, in the beginning, right in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah praised the ones who believe in the unseen. Allah praised the ones who believe in the unseen. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that part of believing in me is to believe in the unseen, because I am part of the unseen and believe in the angels, part of the unseen. Okay? Now, there is always an argument that's so dumb, I can't believe people keep using it, that I can't see it, it means it doesn't exist. This is the most ridiculous argument that people say, if there's somebody up there, let him touch my back. Means like, let him scratch my back. It's like, if there's God up there, let him scratch my back so that I know that he exists. Okay? So, there is a joke about that. There was once a teacher, an atheist teacher. And the atheist teacher wanted to teach people that God is not there. So he said, do you see the blackboard? They said, yes. Then they say, the blackboard exists. Do you see this chair? Say, yes. That means the chair exists. Do you see this table? Yes. It means the table exists. Do you see God? No. Then God doesn't exist. So there was a smart guy, one of you guys probably, smart like you guys, he stood up and he said to the students, do you see the board? Yes, then it exists. Do you see the table? Yes, it exists. Do you see the chair? Yeah, then it exists. Do you see the brain of the teacher? They said, no. He said, then it doesn't exist. Ha, 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 ha. See the joke? Okay, he used his argument against him. Okay. One of my friends said, I am from the show me state. I was confused. I mean, I said, what is show me state? We don't have a state called show me. Maybe it's a nickname for a state that he's talking about. No, but he explained to me, he said, I am for the show me state means that I am not going to believe unless I see. Show me, show me. If I see it, I'll believe into it. That's also another argument, okay? Now, let me give you, this is going to be very interesting. Trust me on that. Let's imagine that something about the unseen dimensions. Let's imagine that we have people who live in 2D, people who live in two dimensions. People who live in two dimensions, like those people. So they have X, they have Y, they don't have a Z. They live in a plane, just a plane. X, Y, no Z, no thickness, just length and breadth, okay? No width, okay? So they just live in one plane, just like those guys, live in just one plane, okay? And let's pick one of them and call him Gilbert. Gilbert lives in a plane. he cannot imagine that there is a third dimension called Z. He cannot imagine that. He was created in the dimension XY, the plane, and this is where he lives, this is where he thinks, this is where everything is to him. He's not aware at all, at all. He's not aware that there is a third dimension, okay? So for us, we see Gilbert. Gilbert doesn't see us because we are in the third dimension. We are outside of his plane where he exists. So he can't see us, okay? Now, a room in a 2D plane, the room is going to be a rectangle. So that would be a room. This rectangle is going to be a room. We open part of the sides to be the door. So here is Gilbert coming, open the door and comes inside, and then he closes the door. Then you see him, he closes the door, he thinks that he's alone, he thinks that nobody's watching him, but you're watching him, you can see him right there, you can get him right away. You can nail him, you can capture him, you can see him, but he can't see you. Now, if you put your finger in that, if you put your finger in the box that Gilbert lives in, which is his room, if you put your finger there, okay, is he going to be able to see your finger, or you just fingerprint? Huh? Is going to be able to see your entire finger, or just the fingerprint? Is going to see the fingerprint. So now the room is closed. Gilbert by himself, you put your thumb or you put your finger, he sees the fingerprint or the thumbprint, he gets scared. He says, ghost. Where did this ghost come from? Then you lift, when you take out, you lift your finger or your thumb, then your thumbprint or fingerprint will disappear. Then you say, oh my God, where did this come? Okay, where did it come from? Where did it go to? So he cannot imagine that he's being seen from that third dimension. He cannot imagine that, okay? Now, think of it that we are being watched from higher dimensions, just like Gilbert is being watched by us, because we are 3D people, okay, are more powerful than the 2D people. We live in 3D, they live in 2D, we are stronger than them. We have superiority over them because we can watch them from the third dimension. We can grab them from the third dimension. We can put in fingerprints in their dimensions. We can move them from the third dimensions, from the third dimension. So think of Allah, just think of it, that the angels of Allah are at higher dimensions and they have access to us. We think we close the door and we think they cannot come to us. They can come to us from that third dimension. So that is a theory of that dimensions that we are not aware of that could have Allah, the angels, the unseen world. That's one theory, okay? The second theory is the theory of waves. You know, we are a creation of zero frequency. Our mass, our body is a zero frequency. We don't vibrate. We are at zero frequency. Now, if you study waves, you find that there are waves that exist with different frequencies. None of these waves you can see. So when Allah says that he has created angels from light waves, from light, they are created from light waves, and created the jinn from fire waves, smokeless fire waves, they are waves, okay? You know that we have right now with us waves going around, we can't see them, because they are at higher frequency that we can see or we can hear, higher frequency. You know that there could be another form of existence with high frequency that occupies the same exact space that you occupy. There can be other forms of existence at different frequencies. It's not only one frequency. You can have unlimited number of existences with different frequencies occupying the same space that you're occupying, just like the waves. Like the waves. The waves go through our body because they are a different form of existence. We are a zero frequency. They have higher frequency, so they can go through our body. They can go through walls, just like you try to call someone using your cell phone from a closed room. Why is this possible? Because waves travel through walls. Why? Because waves at a higher frequency, it's a form of existence. So think of the angels and the shaitan. Think of the jinn, to make it easy. Think of the jinn as a body of energy vibrating at high frequency. They could be around you. If Allah grants you the ability to see, that's the spectrum of light that you can see. If Allah would grant you the ability, see, this is frequency 10 to the power 3 radio. 10 to the power. Ten to the power minus 2 microwave, minus 5, 10 to the power minus 5 infrared. 5 times 10 to the power negative 6 is the visible wavelength, the wave frequency. That's the one we can see. This is just the one we can see, which is this range only. The rest we can't see. And the wavelength here, it's the size of a building. Here, it's the size of a human. Here, it's the size of an insect. That's the wavelength, which is the distance between here and here, the wavelength. And all the way up to here, the size of the wave is as much as the nuclei, okay? So that's how the wavelength changes. And of course, the frequency is the inverse of wavelength. So here it's an extremely high frequency and here it's low frequency. Even the hearing, you can hear only frequencies between 20 and 200. Am I right? Am I right, guys? Videos please on between, yes. Okay, thanks. Okay, but anything else you can't see. So if Allah will allow you to see this whole range, trust me, you will be seeing angels, you will be seeing jinn, because they live with us at different frequencies. There are different universes at different frequencies. We could be in the same place at the same time, but different frequencies existing together. And the one who have higher frequency is more superior to the one who have low frequency. That's why the jinn is superior to us, because that's why they can see us, but we can't see them because we have a lower frequency, we have a zero frequency, but they can go through us. And this is why Allah says that we are closer to the human than his jugular vein. Of course, because the waves can exist even in my throat. My waves are going through my throat, my heart, my brain. So these are all forms of existence. And there is a mention, I want to confirm it, there is a mention about a parallel universe that the Prophet ﷺ was saying to Bilal, something like, and in this world there'll be, if I'm not worried, it is only because I'm worried about people losing their faith, I would have told them about something that a world that has Muhammad like Muhammad, Bilal like Bilal. He was talking to Bilal. So Muhammad like this Muhammad and Bilal like this Bilal. So my understanding, I have to confirm authenticity of this hadith, but my understanding, it is referring to a parallel universe than our universe. Okay. So it is, when you talk about frequencies, that's a different dimension. dimensions, frequency dimensions, unbelievable, in the same place at the same time. And Jinn is nothing but a body of energy. Okay? They can travel with the speed of light because they're energy. Now, you know the mass converts to energy and energy converts to mass. The theory of relativity, Einstein, E equals to mc squared, the energy equal to the mass times the square of the speed of light. Okay, so basically, I'll give you an example. When Prophet Sulaiman asked the jinn to go grab the throne of Balqis from Yemen to Jerusalem, all the way, the jinn said, I will do it before you get up, before you leave your seat, it will be there. Now, how is it possible? Is the jinn is going to carry the throne and fly with it and then bring it down at the Jerusalem? No. What happens is that the jinn is going to convert the mass of the throne into energy and then travels with the speed of light, this energy, to Jerusalem, and then convert the energy back into throne, into mass. So EM is equal to MC squared. So the energy is the mass of the throne. The energy of the throne is the mass of the square front times the square of the speed of light. So it will convert to a big, huge body of energy, and it will go through with the speed of light to Jerusalem, and then he will bring it back to be a mass, converts the mass to converts the energy back into mass. So you can see that the if the jinn, some people say I saw the jinn or I saw the shaitan. It's possible that if the shaitan wants you to see them, if the jinn wants you to see him or her, they would lower the frequency to a range that you can see. And they will lower a certain body. They will get a certain body. They are just like a body of energy. They will indicate a body that looks, for example, like a cat. Okay, body of energy. And this will, I will identify this body inside their existence and then decrease the frequency to a level that we can see. And that's how can people say, I've seen the jinn, I've seen the shaitan. It's possible because all they have to do is just designate a body of their existence and then on a certain shape and then convert it to a lower frequency so that we can see them. That's one way. Another way is to convert the energy into mass, just like we talked before about theory of relativity for Einstein. So they convert the energy back into mass. They convert part of their body of energy. Part of the body of energy is designated and converted into mass. And that's the part that we can see. But there is a rule, by the way, there is a rule about that. If the jinn converts himself into a cat, then he's ruled by the laws of nature that applies to the cat. So cats don't fly, then he can't fly. Okay? Cats will not dance, then he cannot dance. So he is limited. Allah, out of his mercy, limited the ability of, said, limited basically, if the jinn is going to convert into a specific shape or a specific body, then this body is ruled by the same laws of nature that applies to that. If he showed himself as a dog, he converts his body of energy into a dog body, then if he's shot, he will die. Dogs can't fly. He can't fly. He will be governed by the laws of nature of this body that he switched to. Otherwise, shaitans and jinn can convert themselves into, like, for example, a cow or a cat and fly. And this will drive us crazy. They will drive us crazy if they do that. So that's one good thing that Allah, blessing from Allah, that he limited. If they want to change yourself to a certain body, you are controlled by the laws of nature that control this body. Okay? If he changes himself to a bird, then he can fly, but not as an animal. Okay? So the bottom line I'm getting you to is that there are other possible forms of life at different frequencies, and the dimensions of frequencies are unlimited. you have, you know, and angels, I believe angels have, actually angels do have more frequency than the jinn, because the one with higher frequency is superior to the one with the lower frequency, because we can't get hold of the jinn because he's at higher frequency. We can't hold them, we can't grab them, okay? But they can get us. They can physically get us. They can physically destroy us in no time. They can burn us in no time by their energy. And then there is these energy that, there are waves that can burn. And there are waves that cause cancer. And there are so many kind of waves that I mentioned here for your reference to, for you to go back and reference that. These waves can harm our existence. So the shaitan can, the jinn can convert themselves into one of those like gamma rays or x-rays and then harm us. Not to mention that, and physically harm us, not to mention that he can convert himself into a mass and harm us also. So Allah created guardian angels. Guardian angels are angels to protect us. They are at a higher frequency, so they can stop the lower frequency jinn from harming us. Without these angels, shaitans will have taken, destroyed our physical existence in no time. In no time, they can destroy our physical existence. In no time. But those guardian angels, alhamdulillah, are the ones who are protecting us from the being destroyed by the jinn and being controlled physically, being controlled by a shaitan or a jinn that forces us to do something that we don't want to do. It's a, alhamdulillah, mercy from Allah. But that gives you an insight inside the world of the unseen. Those idiots who say, if you can't see it, then it doesn't exist. How about germs? How about viruses? How about coronavirus? Can you see it? They call it the invisible. They call it the invisible enemy. Yes. Yes.
I have two questions. So, one, how are we certain that jinn and angels are as a higher frequency?
Okay, because they go through walls. They go through. They are not. They are not blocked by the low frequency objects like walls and ceilings and roofs and things like that. So, yeah, so that's why we believe that they are higher frequency. Their existence is in a higher frequency. What's the second question?
My second question is that humans...
Well, I never asked.
Humans
no.
are...
No, this is your fault. No personal review.
Humans are referred to as... the best of the beings, right?
Ashraf al-makhluqat, yes.
How is it possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give jinn the power to destroy us?
But he's protecting us by guardian angels. Okay, you can have an ant that is more righteous than a dinosaur. So, honoring is not by physical existence. Honoring is by giving us the spirit, the soul, the spirit of Allah, breathing life into us. And we don't know what the spirit is, and we don't know what the soul is. We use them, and we know they exist, but we don't know the nature of the soul or the nature of the nature of life itself. We don't know it. Where did it come from? How does it work? If you have a cell, living cell, and you duplicate this cell exactly one-to-one duplication, okay, you would have an identical cell, but it's not alive, it's dead. But the other cell is alive. So as far as our physical ability to distinguish between both, as far as we can see, they are identically. The material is exactly the same. One is alive, one with that is what? What is not. They actually also, they went further and they weighed the people when they die. They weighed the person before he dies, right before and right after. And there was no difference in weight. So it's not something. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
So
interesting.
Yeah, life itself, we don't, the secret of life is the spirit from Allah that he breathes into the living beings. So when the baby is about 3 weeks in his mother's womb, Allah sends an angel to breathe life into that child to become alive. And that's why, I don't know if it's the 3 weeks or 40 days, I'm not sure, but let's say 3 weeks. And that's why abortion before that is not considered an abortion, because it's just a dead body. It's not like, it doesn't have a soul. It doesn't have a spirit yet. It doesn't have a soul. But after that, anyway, I don't want to get into this subject, but the soul is breathed into the embryo, and the mother's womb growing embryo is breathed into it to make it alive. And that's the secret of life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives for things to be alive. Allah also said in the Quran that after I fashioned Adam, I breathed into him from my spirit, breathed into him my spirit to become alive. And the first thing he did, he said, achoo! He sneezed. The first thing after he became alive, he sneezed. And then he said, alhamdulillah. He knew everything. Allah created him with all the knowledge needed in his brain, built in. So he said, achoo, alhamdulillah. So Allah said, فَلِيَرْحَمُكَ رَبُّكَ, may your Lord give you mercy. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him to Jannah. And create, at the beginning of the Jannah, he was miserable, kind of miserable, because he was alone. But when Allah created Eve, he becomes happy now. So the Jannah, he could not taste the sweetness of the Jannah until Allah created him a partner, which is Eve. Then he started feeling the sweetness of the Jannah. If you feel that you're going to sleep, stand up and sit down again. Okay, so basically, that's another form of existence that we don't know. That's we know about it. Before the invention of the electromagnetic waves, people would never imagine this. If you could, 100 years ago, before the invention of electromagnetic waves, or let's say 150 years ago, people would not believe that there are waves and they can go through our body. People had, if I say that there are waves vibrating and they go through your body, people would think that we're crazy. What do you mean by waves? They didn't have this concept until they invented the electromagnetic waves. Yes.
Yes. So did we invent the electromagnetic spectrum, or did we discover it?
We discovered it. We invented devices.
Devices
that generates the waves and then receives the waves. And we load, if we have a large low frequency, we load it with high frequency, and then, you know, it's something nice to learn about if you study physics, to learn about the electromagnetic stuff. We couldn't believe that such a thing is possible. It wasn't until our times when the electromagnetic, they couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe it at all. They couldn't believe it existed. They couldn't believe that it may exist at all. It was completely unseen. To them, it was completely unseen, okay? But to us, after the invention of electromagnetic waves, now we believe that there are waves, forms of existence, waves come, and we can generate them, and we can receive them, and we can load the waves with information, and digital waves, and all these nice stuff, okay? It wasn't available to them. They couldn't believe it. It was in the unseen to them. To them, it was unseen. But to us, it's seen. We know it. We see it. We use it every day. So that's another form of existence. This is another form of existence. Now, from an Islamic perspective, what is the difference between to know and to believe? When it comes to the unseen world, we can't have anything except to believe. The unseen world, we have to believe into it. But from an Islamic perspective, what's the difference between to know and to believe? To know is part of the, to know, you know, the part, the seen world, the world that we can see, we know it. But the world of the unseen, we believe in it. So We believe in the unseen, we know the seen. And to give you a good example related to the Islamic concept of punishment and good deeds and bad deeds. Oh, now, come on. If I have two rooms, room one has wine, room two has a furnace, and you are right here. You have the choice, but there is a rule. If you go drink wine today, tomorrow you have to spend time in the furnace. And you can feel the furnace, you can see the furnace, you know that there is a furnace, you know for sure that you would be thrown into this furnace, you would be burning like crazy. And you have the wine, and you have the music, and you have the sweetness and everything. And you get to choose. An idiot would choose to spend one day in this room whining and dining and having fun, and then spending another day in the furnace. Only an idiot. Nobody will, because it's a compelling situation. You can see the furnace, you can hear the smoke, you can hear the burning, and you imagine yourself in this furnace. No way. So you will stay away from this wine room, so that you can be saved from the furnace. So to know versus to believe. Now, to believe, the furnace is unseen. And that is where we have the free will and the free choice. Because the furnace is unseen, then it's possible for me, if I have low faith or low, if less, my beliefs are low, okay, I don't have a lot of faith, I can choose the wine and then say, oh, the furnace is far away from me. Maybe after I die and after this and after that. So a lot of people will do the evil because they are not scared of the furnace, because it's unseen furnace. Okay. It's the wine and the pleasures are seen. I can see it. I'm attracted to it. And the furnace that scares me is unseen. You know, it's in the skies and heavens, you know. So that's why we get to choose. This is part of the design that allows to have a free will and choose for ourselves. Now, what opens the doors of the unseen? Death. Death opens the door to the unseen. I remember that Jobs, I think Jobs was the one who's CEO of Apple, Steve Jobs, when he was dying, and at the time of death, he looked at he was like staring like that, his eyes were staring, and then he said, wow, before he died. Do you guys remember that story, Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple? You guys remember the story? Did you hear it in the news when he died a few years ago? He said, wow, before he dies. Because the doors of the unseen are opened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Qaf, Surah 50, verse 22, now, after death, now you were unaware of this. Now we have revealed your veils from you. So now you can see it very well. So basically, what do we mean, reveal, remove the veils so that we can, now you can see it? Simple. Allah, for the dead people, Allah will give them ability to see all these frequencies. So you look around, you see a busy universe full of creations vibrating at different frequencies. You see the jinn, you see the angels, you see the shaitans. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that at the time of death, I have uncovered the veils that were covering your eyes, so now you can see it. Now the unseen becomes seen to you. You know, as an example, when we were babies in our mother's womb, the universe to us was this womb. That was our universe. That's the universe that we can see, we can feel, that we can move on in and survive into. It's just that womb, which is the body of the part of the woman. That's it. when the person is born, they see a universe which is a humongous universe. I mean, way much larger than the universe that he was into when he was confined in his mother's womb. Now, when you die, the universe that you are dying into or moving to is going to feel the same like the baby leaving this small universe inside his mother's tummy, the womb, to the open, humongous, infinite universe. When you die, the universe that you're dying to is going to feel exactly like the baby is being born to the big universe. It will be like a new birth for you to a bigger universe, much bigger the universe than the universe you know now, you're aware of now. Okay? So, and that's why Steve Jobs was saying, wow. Basically, he can see things that he had never seen before. Okay. Now, how does it work between the body and the soul? The body, the issue of death, the body, the existence, we are made of two units. The body is one unit and the soul is another unit. We can use an example of the car and the driver of the car. The soul is the driver of the car, okay? But the car itself is the body. And this is like a metaphor. So the car is the body, the soul is the driver of the car. Now the driver doesn't know, what did I say? The soul is the driver of the car, the body is the car itself. The driver of the car doesn't know much about the car. All he knows is that stick shift, steering wheels, signals, gas, brakes, that's it. Exactly our knowledge, exactly like us. We don't know much how our body works. Just like the driver of the car doesn't know how the car works, really. We don't know how our body works. We only control, there are certain muscles of the body that we can control. But the rest of the body is outside of our control. We keep medical people in the medical field keep discovering more and more secrets in our own bodies. And that's why when they said, Ya Allah, show us a sign of your existence, he said, you are the sign of your existence. I'm sorry, show us a sign of your existence, Ya Allah, show us a sign of your existence, Ya Allah. Allah says, you, my slave, you are a sign of my existence. You are a living, walking sign. You have so much complications and functionality in your body that is extremely complicated and sophisticated. And you know, like they say, the brain that cannot, there is no brain that can understand how it works. Because in order to understand how the brain works, you need a better brain. And for the better brain to understand how it works, you need a bigger brain. See the point here? So basically, the bottom line is that we cannot understand even how our function, our body functions, not to mention controlling it. So like the driver of the car. Now, when this person dies, the soul is taken out of the body. All the way from the soul, the angel of death will roll the soul from the foot, from the feet, up, all the way to the throat. And then it goes out. The angel of death brings it out from the throat. Now, what happened? The body is then goes to the junkyard, like the car goes to the junkyard, and the driver, the soul remains. The soul is eternal. The soul does not vanish. The soul, when Allah orders the angel Israfil to blow into the trumpet, okay, all souls will sleep. They will not vanish, they will sleep. They will wake up again when Allah orders the angel Israfil to blow in the trumpet again, the second time. Then the souls will wake up and then we will grow out of the earth. Our bodies will grow out of the earth and our souls will be inside our new bodies growing out of the earth. But the souls are eternal. Once created, they don't go away. They go to eternal life, either in Jannah or in hell. So your soul is eternal. Your soul is eternal. Okay? But the body is, you know, the body that you have now is, you have, it's just like the car that you're driving. You're using it just temporarily until you get the actual good car in Jannah, that you're going to be having a physical, awesome form of existence in Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the body is exactly, I'm sorry, he said, the sleep and death are the sleep is the brother of death. There is only one difference between sleep and death, is that this, there is a link. When you sleep, there is a link between your body and soul. Okay, and that link will bring your soul back to your body when you wake up. But if you die and your body stops functioning, then this link is cut off and you are now only a soul. There is no body, just like you sleep. And the way Allah, you know, people are being punished in the sleep and people are being rewarded in the sleep. I'm sorry. People are going to be punished in the grave and rewarded in the grave. It's just like a sweet dream that feels real. So you being rewarded in the grave, having a good life in the grave for good guys, good believers, having good life in the grave, it will look, it will feel to them, it is like a sweet dream. And this sweet dream feels real. It feels exactly real, sweet dream. It's not nightmares. On the other hand, the bad guys, they are going to have nightmares. They're going to have nightmares, severe nightmares. And these nightmares feel real. Like when the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, for example, the ones who don't pray, there will be a bold snake coming, grabbing itself around the body and then crushing the body. And when he says that, when you're asked the three questions, who is your Lord? What is your religion? Who was the man that was sent to you? And you fail to answer, you get hit by a hammer on your head. And you are going to go all the way to the middle of the earth and bounce back in 70 years by just one hit on the hammer. This is not a physical thing, but it will feel that way. It will feel as if it is happening physically. It will feel as if it's actually taking place. That's how it feels. Okay? Even though it's not happening in the physical world, but it is, that's not important. What's important is how do you feel at that point? Okay? So you will feel like as if somebody in this life drove you with a hammer all the way back to the middle of the earth and then bouncing back, 7 years bouncing back, 7 years going in, 7 years going out. It will feel exactly the same. And when Allah talks about the people who Allah will open a door of hellfire to the bad guys in their grave to torture them, to see what is waiting for them. This door is not a real door. This is just like a connection between their grave and the hellfire. So their grave is going to be like a room connected to the hellfire with a door. When they go there, this door is open. So now they can see what's waiting for them. This is why in this life, if you wanna give pain to someone in this life, torture someone, you torture the body and the soul will feel the pain because it's attached to the body. Once you get numbed or once you go to sleep, the soul leaves. So you don't feel any pain because the body doesn't feel pain. The soul is the one that feels the pain. So if you want to punish someone or torture someone in this life, you torture the body and the soul will feel the pain because there's a connection between them. If the connection is not there, then the soul will feel nothing. In the grave, the body is gone. The punishment will be on the soul. not on the body, on the soul, directly on the soul itself. And it will feel as if it is real, the punishment or the entertainment. Okay? And so, the punishment is on the, to cause pain to the soul and this body. You have to go through the body. In this life, you have to go through the body. In the day, in the grave, you can apply pain directly to the soul. In the hellfire, you can't believe this. In the hellfire, the pain will be on the soul and the body together. Both are going to feel pain together. The body feels the pain and the soul responds, no. The body and the soul are being tortured together in the same place in hell. Subhanallah. So it's how severe and such a punishment is the punishment of hellfire. So when Allah said that the life, yeah, he said in Am 660, and he's the one who takes your soul by night and knows what you committed by day, then he gives you back your soul, and then he takes the soul at night and takes the soul at times of death.
No. The longer.
Take your soul during your sleep and send it back to the after you wake up, but when it's time for your death, he's not going to send it back. He's just going to keep it. Okay? He's not going to send it back. So there is a relationship drawn between death and sleep clearly by Allah and His Messenger, calling them the brother. Sleep is the brother of death, or death is the brother of sleep. And because of nightmares and sweet dreams, it's also related to sleep. So, because death is like sleep, the nightmares is like punishment and the sweet dreams is like reward or entertainment, okay? So they all go together. So that's how we understand that the nightmares are punishment to the soul and the sweet dreams are joy for the soul at the time of after death, okay? Now, because your body and soul have to interface together, what is the interface between the body and the soul? The interface between the body and the soul is the brain, their brain. Okay, the brain is the one that controls your body. Okay, so if my soul wants to run, then the soul controls the brain to order the brain to run. Okay, so. But if your body is not able to do something and the soul asks for it, you don't get it. It doesn't happen. If you want to fly and your body can't fly, and then your soul orders your body to fly, your body is not going to fly. Okay? So, but if you got a hand cut and your soul tells to your brain, move the right hand and it's cut, then the body is not able to do it. If you get paralyzed and your arm, and then the soul tells the brain to move the arm, the arm is not going to be able to do it. The soul will tell the brain to move the arm, the brain is not going to be able to do it because it's paralyzed, it lost connection to the brain. But when you is the soul, and I remind you that when you are tired or sick, you say, my body aches. You don't say, I ache. You say, my body aches. Why? Because this is a recognition. To us, that's inside us, we know that the body and the soul, my body and my soul are different units. They are interfacing together and connected together with the brain. Yes, but the body is something and the soul is something else. Totally different than each other, complementing each other. Needed for physical existence, but at the time of death, body is not needed anymore, but the soul is eternal. Since the soul is created, it is eternal. We were dead before, then Allah made us alive. When we were born, we became alive. When we die, this is the second death, And we wake up in the day of judgment, that's the second life. And that's why Allah says in the Quran about the non-believers, they come and beg of Allah and say, you've made us alive twice. You made us dead twice. And you made us alive twice. And we confess our sins. Please send us back. And we will do much better than we did. And of course, Allah will not grant them their wish, because whatever happened, there is no rewind. And in another verse, Allah said, if they are taken back, they will do the same exact thing. Why? Because when they take him back, they will live exactly in the same conditions. They wouldn't have memories about Allah and the hellfire and the Jannah. They won't have these memories, because we don't have any memories right now. Okay? So they will not have memories either, because that's the way life is structured. So if they want to be sent back to this world, they would be sent back to the same circumstances and without any remembrance. Okay? And they are going to repeat exactly the same evil. It doesn't matter how many times Allah would send them back, they will do the same thing. Okay? Because it's going back to the same exact scenario that they were at, without recollection, without remembrance of hell and the heaven, only faith. They will do the same thing. So death is twice, life is twice, okay? Life is when the body attached to the soul and the soul is awake. Death, when the soul is by itself and the soul is either awake or asleep, okay? Until there will be, after Allah orders all souls to die, to sleep, okay? The Prophet said there will be 40. After 40, Allah will order the command, the angel of the trump, Israfil, to blow the trump again. And when he does that, the souls wake up and then get combined with bodies. When Allah said, "Wa idha nufus zawijat," the bodies and the souls are coupled together again in the day of judgment. Coupled together again in the day of judgment. But during that time, the Prophet said, after 40. And he became silent. They asked him, after 40 what? After 40 years? After 40 centuries? After 40 what? He said, after 40. What is that 40? Allah knows. Maybe different forms of existences, different universes, different scenarios. Allah knows better. But after 40, you will not feel these 40, because your soul is going to go to sleep and wake up on the blowing of the first trump, will go to sleep and wake up on the blowing of the second trump. In between, there's 40 something that will not be experiencing or be awake at that time. And that's the time of between the actual day of judgment happening and everything is being destroyed to the actual reconstruction of everything else and getting people out for the judgment accountability. All this is part of the unseen. All this is part of the unseen, but we learn about it from the Quran and the Sunnah, from the hadith of the Prophet, and from the Quran we have all this knowledge about the similarity between sleep and death, the body and the soul, and the pain and the joy of the grave, and the nightmares. And okay, you know, I once was attending, either me or one that I know, a funeral, and there was this dead guy was in this coffin, and he was wearing suit, tie, nice perfume, flowers around. And someone mentioned, said, where is the punishment in the grave if the guy is there? We don't see anything. And the answer to this is that even if you are sleeping next to me, we're sleeping on the same bed, okay? You see me snoring, but what I'm actually experiencing could be a nightmare. I could be suffering from a severe night pain, causing a lot of pain while sleeping on the best mattress covered by the best cover sheet and the best pillow. I could be sleeping. What you see is you see somebody sleeping and snoring. That's what you see. But that person is suffering from a nightmare that's tortured him, severe torture. But I don't see that, because that is internally to him. To me, I see a person who's sleeping. Exactly the same thing. In the coffin, what you see is a sleeping person with flowers and perfume and suit and tie and every nice things, but that's not the actual experience this person is experiencing. He's experiencing, he's in a totally different world, the seen world, the unseen world, and he's experiencing something totally different than what you can see in the coffin with the flowers over there. So inshallah, we'll end here, and we will continue inshallah next week. Any questions? Thank you, Zaki, for the smart questions. All right.
Today was an interesting class.
Thank you.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.